This is the Impound Podcast. I am Brent Trey Sands, the writer and the creator of the Impound Universe. We are the bridge between comic culture and urban culture, and I have a special guest, Miss Amber May.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Glad I can be here. I had a lot of auditions this morning, but I'm so glad to be here.
What were some of the auditions you had?
Now, see, those are under
NDA. I know, I can't say
it. Not allowed to say them, but trust me, they're big.
They're big? That's good. I mean, you've been doing big things for a while. You know, a big thing about this podcast and another reason why I started it was, you know, growing up, all my favorite cartoons, all my favorite shows, you never look at those, well, at least I didn't, as a kid, as one day I'll meet this person. You look at, like, you know, basketball players, like, oh, I want to meet Michael Jordan, I'm gonna meet, but it was like, I never thought I would meet Goku.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Until I actually met the voice Goku, and I was like, this is actually...
Sean Schimmel, right?
Yeah. So, and I was, until I went to a Comic-Con, you know, I already knew he was going to be there. I was vending. And then they're like, Goku is now here and he's ready to speak. And I was sitting there, I was like, I think I'm going to shut the booth down for a minute and go check that out, you know? So that was part of the reason why I wanted to make the stage, so that people could see the person behind the voice a lot more. So you've done... dope stuff. I know Genshin Impact is probably one of the bigger things. Mm-hmm. And then you were also, if I'm not mistaken, the first Black Barbie. Was that right? Yes. How was that experience of being the first Black Barbie?
So Brooklyn, it was 2020. Yeah, her name is Barbie Brooklyn Roberts. Brooklyn is her nickname because the other Barbie is Malibu. They got their own nickname, so they don't mix each other up, you know?
Yeah.
So the way I got that, it was back in 2020 during the pandemic.
Okay.
And everybody was at home chilling. We were like, studios are closed. What are we going to do? But I still had my studio, my home studio, up and running, you know?
Yeah.
So I was still able to do auditions and things like that. So this one audition came in and it was like, hey, can you play this character right here? I didn't really know who it was at the time. They just gave me a description. So I gave them, like, the audition lines, the script, like, hey, everybody, my name's Brooklyn. What's going on? And, they got back to me and they were like, it's you. We need you. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And they're like, it's for Barbie. It's for this movie called Barbie, Big City, Big Dreams. I'm like, what way?
Yeah.
I'm Barbie.
Yeah.
So it blew my mind, and I, like, sat there, like, on my bed, like, oh my gosh, she's gonna be a huge role model for kids and things like that. This is what I got into voiceover for, you know?
Yeah.
So it actually felt like
a character with a purpose as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big responsibility. So it was an honor when I got that, and I gave it my absolute best.
Well, congratulations. And I've heard nothing but good things about it. So you did do a good job giving it your best. And, you know, just an accomplishment in history that can never be erased or duplicated. You know, it'll always be someone else. Could they do it like how Amber did it? It's always going to be that in the future. And then Genshin Impact. I've never played Genshin Impact, but a lot of people have been requesting the voices of it at the cons that I've produced. And obviously it has a big fan base. I have a shop in Sacramento and we sold like Genshin Impact, like keychains and icons. And they go, they go immediately. How did you end up landing that?
So with Genshin Impact, I actually started off as 5 NPCs in the game, like the 5 non-playable characters. They were just roaming around in the world, and it was just a normal game sort of thing. I thought it was just a regular kind of mobile game where not too many people play it, you know?
Yeah.
So I did those 5 NPCs. I felt bad because I was, like, kind of sleepy when I did all of them, so I was probably giving them, like my 80%, but... after that, I saw that the game was getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, this is more than just a mobile game.
Yeah.
So they came back to me a year later and they were like, hey, we want you to read for one more character. Can you come into the studio? And I said, sure. So they auditioned me on the spot and then went straight into her lines.
Yeah.
So they said, this new character, her name is Dia. And she's around this age. She's a mercenary. She's a super badass. She fights and super, super cool. And we want her to sound a little bit like this. And I'm like, okay, so how about up here? She's a little bit younger about here. They're like, never mind. Can you lower it a little bit? And I'm like, how's this? And And they're like, yeah. And they said, okay, quickly say this line right here. Let's get it on. And they're like, that's it. So.
And that became what, the catchphrase?
Yeah, that's one of her. That's one of her phrases, her fight phrases.
I really needed to download and play the game. I personally have never been much of a gamer in general.
Oh, see, you know, I used to play those old school. I played Mario on the SNES, Sonic games, Kingdom Hearts. I'm an old school console gamer.
Yeah, I like. I don't know what it was with me and video games. Like when I was a little kid, of course, I was playing like the Sonic, the Mario, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter type stuff. And as I got older, I would just pick like one game and play it for like years.
Yeah, like me. So don't feel bad. I played Genshin Impact for about 15 minutes. And I'm me, who is not a gamer, I'm like, okay, let's see how this works. I glided into a cliff, fell in the water, and I said, I don't want to play no more. Sorry, everybody.
But it's definitely a massive engine because it's like, it's probably one of the few anime games that I've heard of that wasn't a show, something like that first. It was just the game. So, you know, congratulations on that. Another milestone, another notch in the belt buckle. If that was that the right
phrase? I think that is, but I know what you mean. I'm going
to get up without putting it down regardless.
I'll use that.
What would you say? I mean, I would assume it was going to be Barbie, but what was your biggest role that you would say or the most proud of role?
Oh, so Barbie was the one that I was most proud of, even though Dia is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm being invited to conventions around the country, around the world. I'm going to England this summer. But Barbie holds, like, that special place, like, in my heart as the one that's the role model for these little kids. Like, the little kids come up to me during the con, and they're like, wait, I know that Barbie. And I'm like, I'm the voice of that Barbie. They're like, what's that mean? They don't understand it.
And that's what I was saying earlier. It's like when you're a kid, you just know this fictional character. You know, you don't really see the person behind the voice. Mm-hmm. And you don't think you're going to see them either. Like, it just isn't a thing that just processes in your brain. You're looking for the giant stuffed figure of the person in the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? You're looking for Mickey Mouse.
Yes. But I was the same as a kid.
You want to see the character. And then when you do see the actual person, you're like, that's actually cooler than I thought. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to feel about it.
See, I didn't understand it until I was about like maybe 8 years old, 9 years old or so. And that was when I actually wanted to be a voice actor at that time when I was eight. Because I'm like, wait, you can be a cartoon and you can be a voice behind a cartoon?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it started.
Where would you say was the start, or at least like... how did you get into the industry?
So, other than when I was 6 years old or so, I was watching my favorite cartoon ever, Freakazoid.
Okay, that's a good one.
Anyone remember?
No, I remember Freakazoid.
You know, Paul Rugg. Freakazoid was my hero, and one day he just went offline, just dark, and I'm like, "Where's Freakazoid?" And my mom had to explain, like, he got canceled. He's not there anymore. I'm like, "Canceled?" So my brain's like, is he fighting crime? Is he gone? No, she had to tell me it's an actor that's behind the voice. I'm like, oh, can I do that? I want to be a cartoon. So that's where the spark started.
Right.
So then about 12, when YouTube was first invented, do you remember those days? Mm-hmm. I'm old.
I was in high school when YouTube first started.
I was in middle school. I was in sixth grade.
Yeah, so high school is when it became a thing. It had started before I was in high school, but I just remember, like, the first YouTube thing I remember was a thing called Unforgettable. It was like this black dude in the woods just talking in this crazy voice, these evil stories he had. And at that time, I think in people's brains, YouTube was just like a place that you stored like home videos.
Yeah, that's what it was in the very beginning.
Yeah, it hadn't become a stage or a platform. Like, this is right before Soulja Boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when he was doing that, everyone was watching it just confused. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this dude talking about? And then you finally realize he's kidding. You're like, oh, it's like a sitcom kind of thing.
That's how it goes.
Right. And it's just funny, like, remembering that time of the evolution of. Mm-hmm. But please continue on your YouTube career.
So when YouTube started, I saw my first anime dubs. They were like anime like people would dub them over with their voice and things like that, and anime music videos. So I said, I want to do that, because they just turn off the audio and they replace it with their voice, and it's something silly like a parody. So I did some of those myself in the very beginning, and I did all the voices for all the characters, and I did every single one, made my own scripts and all that. And they were funny. I had a little tiny fan base at the time.
Yeah.
But those videos got taken down for copyright, you know. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't think it was a job. But then 2011, I was like, I want to do this for real. I want this to be my profession. I want to make a living being a cartoon, you know? So I've been doing this about 12 years now.
What was the first, like, studio hired thing?
Oh, that one, let me think. 2011, I started off with Animeme, and that was just like a YouTube skit, sitcom kind of thing. It was really, really funny. After that, I moved to Frederator, Channel Frederator, to do the 107 fact videos, and I just kept building my resume up until I moved here to California. I'm from Virginia. I moved here in 2017, and my first studio gig, I believe it was for this show called BB Bears. Okay. It was a Russian to English dub show, but it never made it. It never aired or anything like that. So I was kind of sad. But it was my first time in a big studio. And this Virginia girl's like, Mom and Dad, I have my first thing.
Yeah.
In the studio.
And then it unfortunately never came out.
Yeah, it never came.
So I never really was like trying to ever be an actor, but when I did first move out here, you know, I saw like there was like some background roles, and it was just kind of like, why not? You never know who you'll meet. And I got hired as a to do background of this show called Ironside, and it was Blair Underwood, like a detective type of thing. And when I get on set, the director looks at me and goes, oh, you just got a better role. You look like this perfect fit for this scene, right? So I'm excited. They give me a new wardrobe. I do a mugshot. I'm like an assailant to a criminal, something like that. And I'm at this table. There's a scene. Blair Underwood's right there. My friend gets arrested on the street. I did all this stuff, and when it came out, I wasn't in one scene.
No.
And it's like, I don't even know how it was possible that I'm not even like kind of in the scene. Because I was right there every single time.
So you were in the background. You weren't a stand-in, or
So I didn't have any lines or anything like that. But the guy who he was arresting, I'm his friend. So when he got arrested on the streets, I'm standing there. I'm on the streets with him. And then there was like this mugshot thing. So when the person who I think was robbed was going through the mugshots, I'm one of the mugshots. My mugshot on the table is blurred out.
No! Hey, that happens like that. I feel you. It happens just
that
like that.
The beginning and the end of my acting career there.
No, you keep going. Keep going.
I didn't have a passion for it. It was just something to do. You know what I mean?
Okay, I see.
I always wanted to be in films, but not as the actor. I always wanted to write them. You know, I went to film school, was writing scripts, things like that. Then I started my comic book writing career, and that's what got me here. But I never wanted to be on the camera. And now I have a podcast on the camera.
Yeah, like you're about to say, you're sitting here in front of the camera.
I had to promote, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my passion is still within the writing.
Wow. I props to all you writers, because without y'all, we wouldn't have jobs.
Yeah.
Like the voice actors, we wouldn't know what to do. We just make up our own stuff, and it may not be as good.
Ying and yang, and I couldn't voice act, so we need you guys.
Yeah, we need you.
It's yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to California from Virginia, you said.
Mm-hmm.
How was it in the industry early on? You know, like how long was it from moving here until you finally got something sustainable?
2017, I moved out here. I actually used to work on the Disney Cruise Line.
Okay.
So I worked there from January to about June.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back home to Virginia for just a little bit, for a few weeks. And then after that, I was like, all right, Mom and Dad, I'm going to L.A. And I said, I'll be back, because I got to get back on the ship, you know, because it was on vacation or so.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. So I came here, crashed with one of my friends, and started like seeing how the industry worked out here and all the opportunities compared to where I was from. And I said, I don't want to get back on the ship.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get back on the ship. So yeah, I said, I'm sorry, Disney, but I want to stay here. I like this. So I called my parents and I was like, I'm going to stay out here. And my parents, they're bless them. My dad sent out my car to me. Right, they shipped out my car and they're like, here you go.
Yeah.
And so
here's all the stuff we can provide. Yeah. We got you to this point. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Good luck. Like, hey, bye. No.
You know, you chase your dreams. It worked out. You got to commend that. You know, it's very hard for people to do that, especially.
It is.
Especially when you're moving from somewhere that's not California and adapting to California rent and cost and things like that, it is an adjustment.
Oh my gosh, the rent here, this was the most expensive rent I'd ever seen. And I like called my dad. I called my parents a lot when I moved here. Like, what does this mean? What does this do? Because I didn't know how to do anything yet.
I was
25 or so.
I'm from Sacramento and, you know, just up north in California. Sacramento has always been the more affordable city, major city in California. So like whatever you had in LA, it would probably be like $500 cheaper in Sacramento for the same thing. But the last, through the pandemic, like 2019 through the pandemic, rent just went insanely high in Sacramento. And now it caught LA. So, you know, I have my shops out in Sacramento for my comic series. And then it was time to just get a new place. And I was like, I'm just going to do it in LA because why would I do it here? I'm paying, it's not even affordable living anymore. I might as well do it where there's opportunity to go with this cost. So that was what made my decision to come back out this way.
Mm-hmm. Paying the same amount.
Paying the same amount with less opportunity out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we were already established out there as a brand. I needed to get established out here at some point. I want to eventually have our own series on a major network, whether it's animated or live action, but it wasn't going to happen there.
No, not in Sacramento.
Yeah, no. Nah, so unfortunately.
It's already big already, yeah. But you got to make it here first.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it back home, you know, so that's the thing, and give people back home opportunities and things like that. But yeah, I had to come out here to get the opportunities to take it home.
I have the same mentality. Mm-hmm. I want to eventually, when I get big enough in the voiceover industry, work my way up, get a whole bunch of roles. I want to retire and I want to go back to Virginia or the East Coast and teach it to those who don't have it over there.
Yeah.
I had to build it up at 12 years old because we didn't have any voice acting. People were like, what's voice acting?
Right.
So I want to go back and teach it to these kids and tell them you can be in your favorite animes. You can be in Demon Slayer and My Hero Academia.
Yeah. Or whatever comes next, that will be that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. People get... You know, I do a lot of speaking at like schools and things like that. I went to Sac State. My college invites me to speak to the students. I've probably done it like 3 times already. And it's such a thing that's so foreign to people. You know what I mean? Like even just the idea of writing comics, they're like, how do you get it printed? How do you find this? And I'm like, it's just on the internet. You can find it like this. You just got to want to find it. Yeah.
Kids have it so nice right now.
Yeah.
Like they have all the information right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to know something, boom, bing, not even bing, Google. Like here it is right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 or so. I had to go through like a whole bunch of different hoops, watch all these videos, Daily Motion and all that stuff. And it took forever. So they have the opportunity to learn it so quick. So I want to show them all of the tools that they have, you know.
Absolutely. Anything big coming up that you can talk about?
There's something huge coming up, but...
But you can't talk about it.
I can't talk about it. But I can say this one, I think it's going to be one of my biggest roles yet so far. So if you think Dia is big, this next one... This one's going to be worldwide.
That's good.
Whenever it does come out, I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year. They're still working on it.
Okay.
But I can't.
Can't wait till it comes out. Well, we'll see when it comes out when you can announce. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was all pretty much I had. I appreciate you coming and sitting down, having a conversation on the Impound Podcast. Again, this is Amber May. You probably heard her voice several times, even if you didn't know it. Go check it out now. We'll make sure you see the face behind these voices.
Don't look at our face. That's how we voice actors are sometimes. We hide behind the studio like, you can't see us back here.
Can't hide as good as they used to be able to hide now because of the internet. Yeah, but I'm Brent Trey Sands, writer and the creator of the Impound Universe. Again, Amber May. And till next time.
See y'all.
Thank you for watching another video by Impound Comics. Make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.